morning.
Good morning.
Fantastic. Let's try.
Father God, we come before you now in the name of our Lord Jesus, asking for your help in hearing and in obeying. And as we thought at the beginning, so that glory will be brought to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
There's something, isn't there, about night times. You've gone to bed, found your comfortable position, and you can't sleep. In my head just now, I was just thinking, cool, I haven't read the Bible yet, because in my head I was thinking I needed to read to you first, but I've already read, so whew, panic over. So I was saying, you find yourself in a night position, but you can't sleep. You turn that side, you can't sleep. There's just something, isn't there, about night times. Night time is making your troubles quite real. I don't know if you've ever heard of people say, oh, I couldn't sleep last night. I just couldn't settle. Why? Perhaps because of worries, concerns, perhaps health reasons, all sorts of reasons. In my neighborhood, most common causes for sleepless nights are perhaps people talking outside our window, or foxes making strange noises, or just like a party going on from maybe a couple of houses or next door. Or not next door. But quite often, it's just people outside. One day, actually, I think a couple of months ago, I think it must have been about 2:30 in the morning, I heard thump, 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 and then crash, and then bang. I thought, I need to go and have a look at this, and then I heard another crash. I thought, ooh, it could be bullets flying anywhere, everywhere here, so I'm going to sit down. I looked over, the wife didn't move. The boys didn't move, so it was just me. I was distressed for about 5 seconds. The whole thing was about 10 seconds, but in my head it was like 3 hours. I was so distressed. I wanted to see what was going on outside, but I didn't have the courage, so I stayed down, thinking, seriously, I thought it could be bullets coming through our house. I need to stay down. The psalm that we just read is known as a nighttime psalm. And we read of someone we heard about of last week, David. If you were here last week, you'd have heard that David was fearing for his life. You would have heard that David was a man on the run, running from his son Absalom. He was a man being pursued. There's no doubt David was in real distress. And we see that in verse 1. Look with me in verse 1, please. Give me relief from my distress. He's probably been on the run for a while now. Remember, he's a king, so he's not used to roughing it, is he? Kings don't rough it. But he's fearing for his life. He's running. He's probably tired. Probably sweaty. Probably hungry. Always on the lookout. That is quite tiring, isn't it? Just being in that situation. And that's what's happening to David. And not only that, David was a man in distress. And not only was he a man in distress, but he was also humiliated. And we see that in verse 2. Look with me in verse 2. You see, the people around him were not good people at all. They were his enemies. There were people there that were his enemies. And we see that in verse 2. Read with me verse 2. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? To add to that distress, there are people around him who love lies, delusions, and seek false gods. These were his enemies, as I've just said. So, he's on the run, he's roughing it, he's hungry, fearing for his life, humiliated, you think, oh yes, he's got enough on his plate, hasn't he? Surely. But no, there's more. Some of his friends are beginning to ask questions. Look with me again in verse 6. David says, many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? That is depressing, isn't it? Imagine, you've already got enough trouble on your own. Without your friends starting to think, oh mate, I don't know what's going to happen here. Perhaps we should give this up. Imagine that. I'm sure you've all been there when you relying, or at least expecting your friends to encourage you a bit. But no, David's friends are saying to him, where is prosperity going to be coming from? The situation is indeed distressing and unbearable. He's probably restless, isn't he? And a person on the run is not easily at rest. He's being pursued, humiliated, lies being told about him. Now even his friends are beginning to ask questions. They're doubting the Lord. David is the man in need of peace. David is a man in need of a situation to be changed. So, what does he do in the midst of this distress? What does David do? A couple of years ago, a friend of mine was going through a distressful, awful divorce. He comes to me and says, can you help me? I can't settle some of the things the ex-wife wants me to do. Imagine he comes to me. Can I help about divorce? Not only have I not been in a divorce, I am useless about things like that. But he comes to me. Does David go to his best friend? The fellow wasn't my best friend anyway. Does David go to Google? Does he look to Facebook? Does he ask his dad? His dad had died anyway by then. Does he ask his neighbours? No, he does not do any of that. By the way, if you're wondering about my friend, I pointed him up to a couple of other things and prayed with him, and he was grateful about that. So park that, forget that. Come back with me to David. What does David do in the midst of his distress? What does he do? David, if that works, David, in his distress, called to the one who gives relief in distress, doesn't he? David called to the one who gives relief from distress. And we see that in verse 1. Read with me, please, verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. David does not call on the name of the Lord because he thinks he deserves it. David did not call on the name of the Lord for help because he thought he was a good man. David calls in prayer because of God's mercy. David knew God to be a righteous God, the God without sin, but he also knew him to be merciful. So with great confidence, he calls on the one who gives relief. My righteous God, David says, give me relief for my distress. So, first thing David does is to look to God who gives relief from distress. He does the second thing. There's a second thought. I think this is working nicely now. Second thing David does is that he knows that the Lord hears when he calls. Again, we see that in verse 3. We'll read that together. Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. In verse 2, he asks, how long will his enemies turn his glory into shame? How long will they love delusions and seek false gods? The Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. He has already chosen David. He has already chosen him. He was already chosen before the world was created. The enemy cannot win. The enemy cannot succeed. Do you know why? Because the Lord has already set David apart. The Lord had already chosen David, so there was no way David was going to lose. David had past experience with the Lord. Even in a crisis, he knew that the Lord hears him and remembered that the Lord hears when he calls. So, number one, David, in the midst of his crisis, calls to the one who gives relief. Number two, David knows that the Lord hears him when he calls. And number three, wrong thing. Number three, the Lord alone gives safety and peace. And we see that in verse 8. We'll read verse 8. In peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. David's belief that the Lord is merciful and righteous does not deny that there will be distress or pretend there's fear. He addresses those friends that we mentioned earlier, doesn't he? He addresses them in verse 4. The friends that, when coping with what was going on, yes, tremble when you're lying on your beds, but do not sin. Search your hearts and be silent. His friends had not blinded him to their failings, so he encourages them. The Lord alone can enable them to dwell in safety. So the David that we read in verse 1, the David who is in distress, is able to say, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Why? Why is he able to dwell in safety? Because he knows that he is separated and delivered from his enemies by the good hand of the Lord. He is even filled with joy when his enemies' barns are filled with grain and there's plentiful wine. And you see that in verse 6. You see, David's confidence and reliance was in the Lord, not on what was going on around him, not on his friends. So, David calls on the one who gives relief from distress, number one. He knows that the Lord hears when he calls. The Lord alone gives peace and safety. Who did this point us to as we read through this psalm briefly? Who was this pointing us to? I can see you thinking, Jesus. Is that right? I thought you were thinking that. Jesus, he definitely was pointing us to Jesus, because Jesus gives relief from distress. Jesus is the one who gives relief from distress. I want to tell you of an account of when this happened. It happened over and over and over, but there's an account. Turn with me, please, to Mark 4. Mark 4, chapter 35, page 1006. Mark chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Okay. So other things have been going on before this, so we'll pick it up from verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Don't you have faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. You see, the disciples were great fishermen. Some of the disciples were fantastic at fishing and handling boats. But in this situation, none of them could sort out this storm. Did you notice what Jesus said to them? He said to them, you of little faith, didn't you? He said to the wind and the waves, be still. Lord, no, don't you care that we drown? He says to the winds and the waves, be still. And the distress that the disciples had was dealt with straight away. He got up, rebuked the wind, and commanded the waves to be still and calm. And that's exactly what happened. Friends, I don't know the way you've come to church this morning. I don't know your circumstances. You might be going through a massive storm. You might be totally in a terrible, terrible distress at the moment. Maybe no one else knows about this, just you. You might have lots of worries that are keeping you awake. Financial worries, job worries, health worries. Friend, I urge you to look to Jesus. Jesus gives relief from distress. Not your neighbor, not anyone else. You need to look to Jesus, because only Jesus Christ gives relief from distress. It might be a very private thing, but to Jesus, he sees you exactly as you are, where you are. You need to look to him to give you relief from distress. There's a second thing, isn't there? You know where I'm going with this. Jesus hears when we call. Jesus was opposed over and over and over before he got to the cross. And on the night that he was betrayed, he was in great distress. He urged his disciples to do what? To pray. And he prayed himself, my will, not your will. Is that what he prayed? No, he prayed, your will, not my will. He prayed to God the Father. Friends, I'm not saying your answer to all your prayers will be yes. I am saying, though, that knowing that he hears when you call is something that will bring you peace. He will always give you what is best, even when the answer is no. He gave us what is best when he went ahead and gave himself up on that cross. He went all the way to the cross on the Father's will. Your will, not my will. He prayed to go ahead with what he came for. He hears us when we call. He hears us when you call. You see, if you don't know that now, when distress comes, where are you going to look to? Who are you going to call on? You need to know that now before distress comes. You need to know that today, that there's one that hears you, whatever happens, that there's one that hears you 24 hours. Just like Jesus was heard that day that he was going to the cross. He was full of distress, but he prayed. And God the Father heard him. You pray today, he will hear you today. So, Jesus gives relief from distress. Jesus hears when we call. And Jesus gives peace and the place of safety. We started our sermon by thinking about troubles and distress at night. Well, I want to tell you another story. One night, a Pharisee came to Jesus at night. That's interesting, isn't it? He went to see him at night. The reason went because he was distressed, but it was more to do with privacy. I think he didn't want people to see him. This Pharisee was Nicodemus. I love this story. He had a few questions for Jesus. And in their conversation, Jesus said to him, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you. Friends, Jesus alone gave his life for all who will look to him for a place of safety. We all are born in a place of distraction, but Jesus offers a place of safety. If you don't believe that Jesus died in your place to deal with your problem of sin and rose on the third day and is coming again, then you're still standing on a place of distraction. Jesus tells us that judgment is coming. But he offers us, through his death and resurrection, a place of safety. We should have been on that cross. We should have been destroyed. We should have been gotten rid of. But instead, Jesus swapped those places. Did you notice I said we stand in a place of destruction if we've not come to him? He swapped that place of destruction with a place of safety if you trust in him, if you put your life in him. If you look to him and call on him even today, you can be in a place of safety. Once you accept him as Lord and Savior, you also will experience peace through the Holy Spirit, who will come to make his home in your heart. Today, this morning, you can ask him into your life. There's a verse in Romans 10, I think it's Romans 10 verse 9, which says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Friends, if you want to walk out today, forgetting everything I've said, this is the only thing I ask you to remember. Jesus today, he's begging you, he's offering you. The fact that I'm standing here, and others have stood here, Alex and Nick and Gareth next week will be telling you the same message. And there'll be more people coming. But today, friends, today, Jesus is offering you a place of peace. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when we're going to die. But there's a time limit. There's a time limit on this message. I do not say this to threaten you. But I tell you, my friends, today, you need to turn and follow Jesus if you don't trust him. Because only Jesus offers you peace and a place of safety. Not me or anyone else or your neighbor or your lovely people that you know. Only Jesus Christ. How do I know this? Because I've experienced that. I have put my trust in the Lord Jesus and I know that I'm in a place of safety. Do you know what? I know that I still sin. I know that I still disappoint him. I know that I only have confidence that I know where I'm going because Jesus swapped his place for mine, paying for all my sins, and he can do the same for you today. You can become a Christian this morning simply by confessing your sin to Jesus, simply by accepting that his death on the cross was a gift for you and for me. Believing that he rose from the dead and is alive today, interceding for you and me. For the Christian, oh yes, it's very well knowing that he gives relief from distress. It's very well knowing that he hears when we call. It's very well knowing that he gives peace and a place of safety. Friends, that needs to start now. Not when distress comes. You need to do that now in the small things. Your kids stress you out. Call on the name of the Lord. Work is difficult. Call on the name of the Lord. Don't wait for distress. You're happy you're getting married. Call on the name of the Lord. Baby is coming, Alex. What do you do? Call on the name of the Lord and praise the name of the Lord. Not when distress comes. I'll call you my friend. I urge you, my friend, my Christian friend and brother, sister and brother, rather, to do that on a daily basis and not wait until you're in that distress. It's a massive blessing, though, to know, though, isn't it? That applies not just when there's distress, but that applies every day. So, my Christian friend, know that the Lord hears when you call. The Lord alone gives peace and the place of safety. My non-Christian friend, I want to help you this morning to become a Christian. So I'm going to pray something shortly because I think I'm going on, looking at the time. And if you still have questions, further questions to ask, please speak to the person that brought you here. Perhaps speak to Gareth, the person that led, or Nick, or myself, or another Christian brother that you or sister that brought you here again, and ask your questions. But friends, that time is running out. Today is the day to turn. I was very excited to read that Jesus gives relief from distress. I was excited to hear that, to be reminded that he is when he calls. And you probably all already know that Jesus gives peace and a place of safety. I want to spend some time praying. And then I'll tell you what we'll do in a minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it's by grace that we've been saved and it's nothing of our doing. And so we want to confess of our sins this morning, having called on all sorts of things, having looked at all sorts of things, perhaps even in subtle ways, without realizing that we are actually looking for advice or help from our problems. We want to ask for your forgiveness this morning, asking that you please help us to have our default set on Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that indeed you hear us when we call out to you. We thank you that you have abundant grace to give us relief in that distress. And we thank you that you have offered us a place of safety on that when you died and rose again on that cross. But we want to ask that that will not be just something that remains as head knowledge. But instead, Lord, we pray that that will be something that we do on a daily basis, calling on your name in prayer, privately and corporately. But Father, we realize that there's some people perhaps here that haven't put their trust in you this morning. We please pray, Lord, that you please help us this morning to confess our sins of having had other things in your place. And so we want to pray, Lord, that you forgive us and help us to trust in you. Help us, please, to overcome our unbelief. And please help us to have that courage to speak to someone if at all we have further questions to ask. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, for our time this morning. And we beg of you, please, that we will go out with this out of this place, relying on you more than we ever have in the past. And be in the habit of calling on your name, whether we have plenty or whether we have little. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to stand and sing Never Alone, I think, from memory, Never Alone. And then Gareth will come up to tell us what happens next. Thank you for listening to me.
Guys, so quick prayer. give you a moment, just quiet, and then I'll explain what we're going to do next. Let me just read the last verse of Psalm 4. We've just sung, let me just put it on the screen. Never alone is now our cry, in joy and grief, in lonely sin, never alone, for Christ is ours, he lives in us, we live in him. That's why we can say, verse 8, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety, because he is in us, with us. So have a moment of quiet, and I'll pray, and we'll explain what's going to happen next. Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we don't want this message just to be a message for Sunday morning. We want it to be a message for Monday, a message for the rest of the week. Father, we want to be people who are faithful. Help us to come to you, knowing that we can only have that safety and that peace in and through the Lord Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so, is there coffee left? Anyone has any coffee left? I think there's probably coffee left and tea. There's probably some cake. So please stay, have some tea, coffee and cake. And in about 15 minutes' time, then we're going to start setting up for our church lunch. So you're very welcome to stay. Thank you very much for coming. Enjoy your tea and coffee.